Public News Service Thursday afternoon update. I'm Joe Ullery. President Biden discussed the Middle East conflict, saying the U.S. is in talks about a possible Israeli strike on Iran's oil reserves. He did not support an Israeli attack on Iran's nuclear sites and provided no updates on hostages held by Hamas in Gaza. The FBI analyzed Donald Trump's phone activity during the January 6th Capitol riot, showing he used Twitter throughout the day. Prosecutor Jack Smith's memo, unsealed by Judge Tanya Chutkan, reveals Trump watched news coverage of the riot and tweeted, including a post about Vice President Pence. As Michigan voters eye who they want to pick for president in the election, state officials are urging them not to lose sight of vital local races, especially school board races in rural communities. Our Crystal Blair explains.
These down-ballot candidates play a crucial role in shaping the future of education and the overall direction of their communities. Statistics reveal rural Michigan school board elections are usually uncontested, with incumbents winning more than 80% of the time. However, Trina Taco, who heads up the Michigan Education Justice Coalition, says this election year, there's a decent number of competitive school board elections across the state.
Maybe there's two seats and there might be three people running. Or maybe there's a couple of full-term seats and then there's some partial-term seats. Similarly to what we've seen with school teachers, which is there's a lot of turnover, we have actually requested all candidates across the state to go to our website and complete a form. What do they think about what's important around curriculum, around racial equity in our schools, mental health in our schools?
Taco says voters can learn more about candidates by attending forums. A map of forum locations provided by the Michigan Education Justice Coalition helps residents find events in their local districts.
And Arizona is raising awareness about various benefits electric and hybrid vehicles can offer to those who calls Arizona home.
Diane Brown is the executive director of the group and says Arizona has experienced an uptick in EV sales over the last several years. As of September of this year, there are now close to 90,000 EVs registered in Arizona, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Brown adds that Arizonans are taking advantage of available tax credits and incentives from government and utilities to make the switch that helps improve air quality, thereby protecting public health, but also saving them money.
Arizona can continue to bolster policies that make opportunities to shift gears from gas-fueled vehicles to electric.
I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
This is Public News Service. New York colleges and universities are seeing the impacts of the Supreme Court's decision on affirmative action.
New data from Education Reform Now shows schools such as Columbia and Cornell universities saw black student admissions decline. However, national admissions data has been mixed, as some schools see more black and minority students admitted. Will Dupilar with Education Trust says schools need to reevaluate what they value in admissions.
And then think about, like, what are the necessary attributes of successful students? Not what are the attributes that we value in admissions that overwhelmingly tend to prioritize wealthier white students.
He notes some schools are masking or underreporting their admissions data by providing a percentage of minority students without breaking it down by race and ethnicity. Before the Supreme Court's decision, 9 states banned affirmative action in college admissions. Many studies show those states saw an increase in racial disparities in admissions and fewer minority students enrolling. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
In Ohio and around the country, concert and sports fans are expressing growing frustration over rising ticket prices and hidden fees. Our Farah Siddiqui has the story.
In response, Congress is considering the Ticket Act, a bipartisan bill that aims to increase transparency by requiring ticket sellers to display all fees up front. Sally Greenberg with the National Consumers League highlights why she feels this issue is so important for consumers.
People in Ohio understand the frustration and the anger that you feel when you go buy a ticket, it looks like a reasonable cost. And all of a sudden, you know, the fees add 30, 40, 50% to the cost.
If the Ticket Act passes, ticket vendors will be required to show the total price, including fees, at the beginning of the purchase process. While supporters such as Greenberg see this as a win for consumers, some in the ticketing industry argue the change could disrupt business models.
Now to Minnesota, where social behavior experts say teens have fewer spaces to gather with technology-driven isolation, complicating matters. It's more pronounced in places with documented violence, but a Minnesota project could keep some of these issues at bay.
This month, the organization Nonviolent Peace Force begins specialized programming at its community hub in North Minneapolis. Odell Wilson is a community peace builder for the group, says this dedicated space allows middle and high school students to participate in healing circles. And that's not all.
Certain days on a Saturday or a Thursday, we might have journals or painting to express yourself through the arts.
He also indicated they're planning to set up a music studio as another outlet for teens looking for social and emotional relief from any neighborhood tension. This youth programming space will sit inside the Gathering Hub Nonviolent Peace Force opened in North Minneapolis last year to foster meaningful conversations among community members. I'm Mike Moen.
This is Joe Ullery for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.